And you have been working very hard on your personal credos also. And we know that these statements will grow and change with you and with your relationship to this faith. I'd like to invite you now to share with us your statements of faith and what you believe and what this implies for the years ahead.
Hello, my name is Quentin Putnam. The credo statement is supposed to be a statement of what you believe. What I believe is based largely off of what I know, as it is for many people. Personally, I find myself to be a very logical person, most interested in the fields of math and science. Instead of spending time rambling on about why I have trouble believing in a higher power, I've decided to discuss something relevant in everyday society. One of the principles, in fact the first principle, of Unitarian Universalism that I have contemplated says to, quote, respect the inherent worth and dignity of every person. What I've noticed when closely examining this principle is that the principle does not explicitly say whether or not to respect the dignity and worth of every person equally. To try and understand this, I looked at the seventh principle, which basically says to respect the circle of life of which we are all a part. However, we don't treat plants and animals and farm animals nearly as well as we treat our fellow humans. It's simply a fact in modern-day society that we don't treat bugs as well as we would each other. This brings up the question, do we treat and should we treat all humans with the same amount of respect? When I first asked myself this, I immediately thought yes, and if we do, we should be treated equally and respected equally. It seems fair and just and is a great motto for any kids' TV show. However, when I put deeper thought into it, I was indecisive. For example, I don't respect bullies at my school as much as I do my friends. In short, I don't think I should respect bullies as much as my friends. Although I may have respected them both equally when we first met, I don't now. What has changed? Well, I learned about them, and I like them more or less because of their actions, because of how they've treated me. And the people who I have less respect for, I also think of them as having less worth. I don't care for them as much as I do for my friends, or people who have proved worthy of higher respect. Dignity I think of in the same way. So all in all, I don't respect people's worth and dignity equally. Now, saying that, I do think everyone should start out with the same amount of worth and dignity. It should be you yourself that decide your own actions and determine how much respect you receive. The amount of respect you were shown should have nothing to do with one's financial situation or the amount of respect someone's parents received. You have no say in that and should not be judged based on it. None of us should inherit worth and dignity, albeit we all have varying inherent worth and dignity. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Julia. For as far as I can remember, I've struggled with what exactly I believe in. Some days I believe in one thing, and the next I've erased the thought right out of my head. God has always confused me. Is God real? Is he watching over me? Is he even a he? When my Nana died last spring, I got very confused. After she passed, I felt her presence with me, which led me to the conclusion that if she was with me, she must be in heaven, so God must be real. I got thinking about it later that year and realized God didn't have to be real and she didn't have to be in heaven to be able to watch over me. Right now, I'm not sure what I believe in terms of God, but I do believe in the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you, from Matthew 7:12. I've heard this rule ever since I was little, but never really understood it until I was older. Sometimes people do terrible things which are not acceptable, but it is also not acceptable for us to do horrible things in return. While some things seem unforgivable, it is important for us to forgive, but never forget, so we learn from their mistakes. We hope that others will forgive us for our mistakes as well, so we can create a more peaceful, understanding world.
Thank you.
I am Dylan Palmer, and I'm going to start with a quote from Martin Luther King Jr. An individual has not started living until he can rise above the narrow confines of his individualistic concerns to the broader concerns of all humanity. This quote speaks truest to my beliefs. I believe that people should be doing what is best for all, not just what is best for them. I think Unitarian Universalism and our church promote this ideal. We give a lot to charity and participate in many different activities in the community that help people in need in Massachusetts and across the world. A great example of this was when I went with the senior youth group to a church in Boston to stay with the homeless for a day and help the homeless. That was an act of caring and learning and truly was in the spirit of this church. I also strongly believe in equality for all people and in the Unitarian Universalist values on equality. Our church preaches equality, which is what Martin Luther King fought for. We wave a rainbow flag for LGBT equality and strive for equality for women, illegal immigrants, African Americans, and all other groups being oppressed. Our church fights for many causes that benefit the good of all and fights for justice and equality. Those are values I strongly believe in. I listen to the sermons every Sunday, and I notice that they all develop around these ideas, doing what is best for all, and equality and justice. I am an atheist and a secular humanist. I believe in using only scientific reasoning to explain life, but I believe that the force of what we call God is within every person. I believe that the drive to do good and to help others does not need to be explained through an array of consequences like heaven or hell, and sinner or good doer, or through an authority that chooses your outcome in life. The drive to do good is within every person. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Before I start, I would like to say thank you for all of you for coming this great morning, and especially to Robin, Stephanie, and my parents for supporting me over this year. To start off, I would like to read you two stanzas of a poem that over the year I've come quite accustomed to reading over and over. The first stanza is, "There is a bluebird in my heart, and it wants to get out, but I'm too tough for him. I say, stay in there, I'm not going to let anyone see you." Then the next stanza is, "I have a bluebird in my heart, but it wants to get out. But I'm too clever for him. I only let him out at night sometimes, when everyone's asleep. And I say, don't be sad. I know you're there. And I put him back in. And we sleep like that with our secret pact. It's nice enough to make a man weep, but I don't weep. Do you?" This poem was written by Charles Bukowski, and it's called Bluebird. In the poem, it shows a man trying to protect the delicate side of himself by keeping it locked up, and is only really able to show it in a few situations. This poem connects a lot to what I believe in and a few of the UU values that all of us believe in, which is that no one should have to hide themselves in fear that it will be stomped out, which also connects to the value that most of us believe in, which is the everlasting dignity of every human being. Even if someone believes in something different or came from another country, we should be able to put our differences aside and work together. When it comes to things like what happens after death, I like to think of something that my mentor, Jeff Davis, once said, which is, it's the trip, not the destination that counts, which is what I think we should all do, which is enjoy what life has given us now. Again, I would like to thank you all for coming on this gorgeous day, and have a great day.
Can everyone hear me? Okay. I'm Cindy. It seems to me we can never give up longing and wishing while we are thoroughly alive. There are certain things we feel to be beautiful and good, and we must hunger after them. This is a quote by Marianne Evans as George Eliot. I chose this quote because I believe that people should always have a goal in life that they should work towards. So long as you are alive, there is something you can do with your life. Everyone has something that they find beautiful, so everyone has something to dedicate their life to. Finding a reason to live is not that hard, and it is easy to find beauty in the world. I think that any goal, even if it is just a small one, can help people to live a fulfilling life. I also believe that it is what someone does with their life that matters most, and that how they were created or what happens when they die does not matter as much. I think that worrying about things like why you exist or what happens after death isn't a very good way of thinking, and people should worry about what they're going to do with their life. I believe that anything a person believes about how or why they were created and what happens when they die is okay, but you should never be insecure about your own beliefs about these things because they cannot be proven. The answers you have need to come from your own belief about them, and if you already have the answer you have an answer for those questions, you don't need to question it. I personally do not care about why or how I exist, nor do I care about what happens after I die, because I don't think that matters. There are many things that I find beautiful in life, and I know something is beautiful when I see it. I haven't really found a big goal to dedicate my life to, but I do have smaller goals, like getting into a higher level science class, or an even smaller goal, like raising my Pokemon to level 100. I might not find out what I'm supposed to do in life for a while, but I have a lot of time to find out.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Green, and I've been coming to this church since 2004. I have this very good friend, Daniel. He goes to an evangelical church and has a lot of faith in that religion, so much so that he tries to convert my friends and I almost every day. After long talks with him, I had slowly begun to unravel what I believe about God, the Bible, and Jesus. I don't believe in the Bible word for word like Daniel does, but some part of me strays from my atheist views and makes me wonder. I believe that God may have been behind the Big Bang and still may be behind the miracle of life and birth. My beliefs about God will inevitably change because I'm only 15 and still deciding what I believe, but I think that the UU Church has given me a good foundation to begin my religious journey. May your life preach more loudly than your lips. This is a quote by William Ellery Channing. I believe in this quote very strongly. When I was in the sixth grade, I tried out for the basketball team, and I didn't make it. I was upset about this, and all my friends had made it, so obviously I got teased a bit. I used to say something like, the coach didn't like me. Well, I only said this, but I knew that I didn't make the team because I didn't try hard enough, and I needed to put in the work. Next year, after lots of practice, I tried out and made the team. I used my willpower instead of making excuses to achieve my goal. Some morals that I stand by in everyday life are respect, inclusiveness, and fairness. I value all these things very highly. Earlier this year, every morning during the school day, my friends and I would go play basketball in the gym before class. The games would start with two equal players being captains and selecting their team from the people at the gym. One morning, we had an odd number of players, and one of the worst players was left out. As he walked out of the gym with his shoulder slumped and head down, I called out for him to play on my team, and I would sit out and go up to one of my teacher's rooms. This is an example of how much I dislike people to be excluded and the unfairness of everyday life. The Good Samaritan is a Bible story that really touches me. I was moved by it because it includes many of my values. The Good Samaritan showed respect, fairness, and inclusiveness in all of his actions. These are all the values I live by, and I intend on continuing my life with them. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Will Branch. Spread love everywhere you go. Let no one ever come to you without leaving happier. This is a quote from Mother Teresa, a Roman Catholic nun who worked with the poorest and sickest people in India to leave them feeling loved. I chose this quote because I believe that every living being should be loved. People deserve to be treated with dignity and to be treated equally. Love is free and can be given to anyone. So, by treating people with dignity, you are giving them love and comfort. When I was on our youth group mission trip to feed the homeless, we fed, clothed, and provided a comforting social gathering for the men and women on the streets. At first, I was scared to go because I didn't know what to expect. But this experience gave me an opportunity to show that these people had worth. They deserve to be loved, no matter their gender, race, ethnicity, or wealth. These people needed help, and they were brave enough to ask for it. I overcame my fear of going on the mission trip. I realized that the homeless people and I are similar in many ways. Sure, I sleep in a bed every night and have a good meal 3 times a day, but the homeless and I both need love and help to live. If we are similar, I recognize that what I deserve, they deserve as well. The homeless left happier than when they came in. So did I. Giving love leaves the giver and the receiver happier. It is challenging to ask for help, but by doing so, it allowed me and others to love them. I find it hard to believe in God, but I do believe in love. Humans are capable of doing amazing things. They can create machines that fly through the sky and go deep under the sea, but without love, the human existence is pointless. This is the core of my belief. We are all here to love and care for each other. The first UU principle, which states that every person has inherent worth and dignity, is important to me. It reflects my belief in the centrality of love in each of our lives, which keep all of humankind alive and healthy. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Savannah. I would like to start with a reading from the Dalai Lama. Be kind whenever possible. It is always possible. Kindness is something that has always been important to me. When you are kind to someone, they will be kind to you in return. Kindness also brings people together. For example, in the Boston bombing in April, many people came together to help the victims and their families. Some people helped carry injured people to safety or even to donate blood. These people did not need help, but they chose to out of kindness. I also believe that you should be kind to all people. It doesn't matter what race, gender, age, or social status they are. Everyone deserves the same respect. In today's society, there is a lot of controversy about gay marriage and people in poverty. Gay and lesbian people aren't getting the same rights as others. In some places, they are not allowed to marry and are often picked on by those with different views than them. Some people in poverty are not given the help that they need. Many homeless people out on the streets are ignored. I think that these people deserve the same rights as the rest of us. We are all humans and should not be treated badly over something that is not wrong or that may be out of our control. All people should have the same rights, and all people should be treated with respect and kindness. This can be hard in the case of murderers or terrorists. Some of us struggle to treat these people with respect or with kindness, but these people are still human, and some of them may have mental illnesses. They should at least be treated fairly. Combating violence with violence does nothing. I think we should treat people well because it would make the world a better place. This spring, I went into Boston for a program called City Reach. I and many other people helped to feed the homeless. We made sure that they had food and clothes. Most of them were very grateful, but some of them seemed ashamed. It made me upset because I don't believe that these people had anything to be ashamed of. Overall, I was glad that we could help these people, even if it was just for something small. If more people volunteered their time to help others, people would be happier. And as the first UU principle states, there is inherent worth and dignity in every person.
None of us is fully able to perceive the truth that shines through another window, nor the falsehood that we may perceive as truth. Thus, we can easily mistake another person's good for evil and our own evil for good. Forest Church, A Chosen Faith, An Introduction to Unitarian Universalism. What Forest Church said speaks to one thing I've believed for as long as I can remember, that every person is not inherently good or evil, and that we as human beings have the capability for good and evil. And what we think of good and evil can mean the exact opposite to the person you're sitting next to. And one of the things I like to do with some of my friends is just talk. And sometimes what we talk about is the nature of human beings and how they work. And one of the things I take away is that every person is dynamic. They are not just good or evil. And that one person is not only what you see of them, it's many other things that can contradict what you think of them. Another thing is because good and evil depend on the person, it means that good and evil are purely based on your own opinions, and you cannot inflict your own good onto someone else, for they will or may think that that could be evil. One of my friends thinks hockey is like the best thing ever, and some of you might also think that, but me and some of my other friends are not so fond of the sport. Although certain sports like hockey are not inherently evil, the design of the game of the games promote evil behavior by certain players who indiscriminately and maliciously inflict pain and sometimes permanent injury onto other players purely as an act of aggression. To me, this is evil. Others only see these sports as people coming together in goodness, as what happened at certain sporting events recently, where they have raised money for the victims of the Boston Marathon bombing. You can use certain sports as something someone thinks of as good, but is also something others people could think of as evil. This means that what we think of good and evil are purely based on our own opinions. As First Church said, none of us is fully able to perceive the truth that shines through another person's window. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Corinne Carboni. I don't know if I believe in a God, but I do believe that friendships could be religious. I have been swimming for almost 7 years now, and everyone I have met, I have become extremely good friends with. While setting my goals for this season, I came across a quote that stood out to me. It goes something like this. Many times in swimming, it's not the end result, but the journey and the way we reach our goals that is important. Everyone will die at one point or another, because that's just life. But we'll all have different journeys because we all make different choices. When I swim, I get this inner fire inside me that makes me push myself to my limits, which I consider my inner beast. My friends and I call it our inner Veronica because we think that's a sassy name. We go about our lives with respect to others, but when it comes time to race, that inner Veronica comes out, we get fired up and excited, and we race our best. It's a possibility that that's God inside us, pushing us to our limits and helping us succeed. I believe that friendship will last forever, even if the people don't, because it's not something you physically see, but something felt. Many physical objects never last forever, such as cars and food, but feelings could last for many years. I don't believe that we became friends because of swimming, but because we have the same personalities, and not all of us know what we believe in yet. I also believe that everyone has equality, and everyone should be given the same rights. I believe that UUism, to me, means that we are all equal. I believe our religion, unlike some, allows us to speak our minds and be who we want to be and still be accepted.
Hello, my name is Connor, and I'm going to start out with a quote that I chose, and it may be familiar to some of you. Unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing's going to get better. No, it's not, by the Lorax, Dr. Seuss. I've been exposed to so many different debates and ideas of religion, politics, political issues, and moral issues. I've been developing my own ideas and personal views about these issues, and I've found that I'm deeply troubled by the open hatred that surrounds groups of people simply because they have differing views on religion. One particular incident that got me thinking about this more than others, it happened last year when I was in the 8th grade. For a class project, we were assigned to write a letter to someone involved in the U.S. government about an issue that we cared about. I chose to write to Barney Frank defending the importance of stem cell research. The only problem was that I had a good friend who was a devout Catholic, and he chose to write to John Kerry opposing stem cell research because of his religion. This was hard for me. It troubled me to know that I could have such differing views from someone who was such a good friend. We often debated our beliefs in class. So the time came, and Barney Frank wrote back to me, and he responded, and he said he wanted to meet me in person. I was thrilled, and soon my whole U.S. history class knew about this. I had a great meeting with Barney Frank, and I even got my picture taken with him. Unfortunately, my friend did not get a response from John Kerry, the person he wrote to. I felt awkward and guilty considering the positive response I had received. This left me in a tough situation. It was almost as if my friendship, caring, and concern for him was more important than my personal views on this political issue. Because I was so bothered by this, I questioned my beliefs. I found that I believed my friendship and fondness for this person could not be clouded because of our different views or our different religious beliefs. After all, if I hadn't cared a whole awful lot, like the Lorax said, about our different beliefs, I could have lost a friend just like that. Like Nathan always says, people need not think alike to love alike, but I later learned he stole it from Francis David. this quote and many more experiences have taught me that it is okay to have close friends with totally different views. Maybe this is what keeps life interesting. I want to end by especially thanking my mentor, Howard, Robin, Stephanie, and Nathan. Also, I'd like to thank my parents for raising me and bringing me to this church and giving me the once-in-a-lifetime gift of meeting the nicest people on earth.
Don't worry, I'm the last one. Hello. My name is Philip Tabel. As you know, I'm up here to explain what I believe in. Firstly, I'd like to thank my mentor, Phil, my parents, and my brother, Max, and Robin and Stephanie. These people have always been there for me in my life, and I'd just like to say thank you. I'm just going to come out with this now. I don't know what I believe in. You may be wondering what I've done for the past 26 days after church then. Due to recent events in my life, like being on Boylston Street during the Boston Marathon, and just thinking about it is very hard to decide what I believe in. Right now I'm split on two sides. There has to be a God because of all the blessings we received during the day of the marathon. Or there is no God because of what happened there. I'm not here to try to confuse everyone on what they believe in, but I feel that it's important to see both sides. On April 25th, 2013, two bombs went off at the end of the Boston Marathon. I was standing between the bombs, half a block away from both. 20 minutes before the bomb, me and 9 other students, they were Max's friends, were on the corner of the first bomb, until my mom texted us to come over. Some people could call that a sign. Some people could also call it a series of events. It was a very tragic day and will always be with me for the rest of my life. My physical body wasn't harmed or affected in any way, but my spiritual beliefs were changed. Our church also says that we need to seek the truth in love, so it's okay if I don't know what I believe in yet. One of the questions that I think of after the Boston Marathon bombing is why. It is a very common question for people to wonder, why do good things happen to bad people? And like many others, I don't know the answer. After the bombing, the church held a service as a tribute for those who were affected by this event. The service was good. It also helped my family through these tough times. This hasn't been the first time that this church has helped my family. 10 years ago, my younger brother Andrew died of SIDS. Max, my older brother, was running for Andrew on the day of the marathon, too. Both of these events have made me ask the question, why? Why was I not affected anyway physically, but so many other people were affected? I also constantly wonder why Andrew died. What did Andrew do to deserve this, like so many other people at the marathon? These events are very difficult to understand, but that's why my family and I are here at this church. We have always been able to find help here. After Andrew's death, and during the marathon, I felt like he was watching over us and keeping us safe from the blast. I'm still trying to figure out what I believe in, and before I die, I'm going to try to figure it out. Thank you.
During the coming of age year, each youth had a mentor, hand selected by the youth and the family in the summer and fall as a good match for each youth's spiritual growth needs. And as you can see, the spiritual needs blossomed into spiritual statements that I think we are all proud to have heard this morning. The mentors met with us twice a month for our full classes, participating in all aspects of the program, from describing Unitarian Universalism in an elevator between the first and tenth floors, to helping their mentees answer the big questions about values, about good and evil, about forgiveness and reconciliation, the afterlife, and God. The mentors experienced their own coming of age in the experience. And they, well, they were working with this youth because they worked sharpening and expanding their own beliefs alongside the youth. They expected to be mentors, and what they didn't expect was to be mentored by the 12 young people, the 13 young people they worked with. We are so grateful for the good and faithful service of this group of 13 adults. Thank you for laughing with us, for crying with us, for helping our youth write their credos, for helping our youth speak them well in front of this congregation today, for getting to know them as deep and unique people and not just as kids in the church. Thank you most of all for just being present to these kids, now young adults, at one of the most tough and tender moments of their lives. As I call your name, I would like you to please come forward and be recognized. Phil Bussinger. Jess Jonas. Howard Tybal. Jennifer Ryan Brown. Michael Dickinson. Laura Jensen. Jeffrey Davis. Donna Allen. Peter Putnam. Carly Baker. Peter Gormley. Don Kaiser. And Maureen Gormley, who mentored a youth who's not with us this morning, Maya Ravniak. Maureen, wherever you are, where are you?